Welcome to the Online Success Journey Podcast, your opportunity to discover and learn from entrepreneurs like yourself. This is not your typical podcast, but a place where you can get the real story and find out how real people encounter speed bumps and detours, but journey through to find success. Now here's your host for the Online Success Journey Podcast, Patience.
Hello everyone and welcome to Online Success Journey. This is episode 253. Today we have Jordan Carroll, worked for Fortune 50 company, startups and his own businesses while traveling internationally. He creates content, courses and coaching programs to help high performers learn a process to land legitimate remote jobs, gain freedom and flexible in their lives. Hello Jordan.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. I know the clan here is anxious to hear your story, so let's get started with the basics. Can you tell my clan a little bit about your background, about what you did before you started your own online businesses?
Before I started my remote business that I run now as a coach, I had worked both in corporate for a Fortune 50 company, IBM. And I worked in sales for them. And then I also worked in multiple different startups remotely. And I did some freelance work. So I've kind of had a wide range of experience with different types of companies. And one of the unique things about my experience has been able to work remotely in all of those different opportunities. So that's over 6 years of work remote. And that's just taught me a lot about not only working remotely, but what it takes to get a remote job and has given me a lot of different benefits to be able to travel while I am working.
Wow. What did your family think of when you thought, oh, I'm not going to take a normal job. I'm just going to work from remotely and travel 15 countries and live on 5 continents. What did your family think of that?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think I actually took the first job that I took was a more conventional corporate job. After about 8-9 months in the job, I negotiated with my management to let me work remotely one day a week. And I was in this training program. So after the training program was over, I ended up getting a full-time remote position with them. I would travel to some of the customer sites, but when I was not traveling to customers, I was working fully remotely from wherever I wanted to. And the transition from that to starting to travel the world, that was a little bit bigger of a step. And I ended up quitting the corporate job, working for different startups, and then working for my own businesses. And that's when I got the opportunity to work from the 15 different countries that I went to. My parents, they're people that have not really been outside of the United States where they're from. So it was kind of a shock to them that I was going to do that. And they were supportive, but they don't quite have the same experience that I do. So they've just been curious, they just want to know what it's like. And they have a lot of questions, but they were still excited for me when I decided to do that, because, I have been fortunate enough to support myself and be able to get these jobs that allow me to earn income while I'm doing that too.
Wow. What a background. What is the most dangerous belief an entrepreneur can have, or a remote worker?
Yeah. So I'd say for a remote worker or someone that's transitioning to remote work would be that working remotely is the same as working in an office. And when I say that from the surface, I know that they're not the same. They are different, but there is what we'd call a learning curve to working remotely. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of different ways that you have to figure out within your self-awareness journey how it is that you work best. Because if you work best in an office, in an environment where there's more structure, where you have people to report to, where you have colleagues to socialize with, you may find out that working in an office is actually better for you than working remotely. A lot of people, when they start working remotely, especially now, because a lot of people have been forced to work remotely, they're finding out that they actually don't like, they don't find themselves that motivated, or they don't like working remotely because there's no social aspect, or they don't like having having to come up with all their own self-motivation. And I do want to clarify that right now in the world where there's a pandemic, this is not what I would consider real remote work. This is like work from home emergency pandemic remote work, which is not remote work. Real remote work is the flexibility and freedom to work from coffee shops and, you know, travel and do the things that you want to do, create a lifestyle around your work. Whereas right now it's just a very restricted version of remote work. So it's not, not what I would call real remote work. So that's the mistake on the remote worker side. And then I'd say as an entrepreneur, you know, I think just not acting. I think we can get so in our heads and think about all the great ideas that we have, but if you don't take action and you don't actually give yourself a chance to put your ideas out into the world, nothing will ever give you that feedback that's real. Because I think when you're an entrepreneur, you often have these conflicting views of thought where it's like, I could do this, I could do this, I could do that. But until the market actually responds to your ideas, you don't know at all what's the right way to go.
How is your business now operating? And how are you operating yourself in your businesses as a remote worker in this pandemic?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I had been traveling the past 2 years about pretty much every month. I'd go to a different country and I'd be resetting up my workspace and where I was living and my gym and where I get my groceries and, you know, everything that you have to do when you change places that you're living. And I actually travel with a backpack and one carry-on bag. So I have very minimal things. I don't have that much as far as things that I need to carry with me. However, what I found out was earlier in the year, I really wanted to, and this was even before the pandemic was a big thing, I wanted to find a place where I could live longer term. And I chose Mexico because I love the Mexican culture. I love the beach. I love the food, everything here. And I love to speak Spanish. So this was really the place that I wanted to commit to. And I also met someone here that I, you know, my partner who I'm with here, and she obviously was a big reason too of why I chose Playa del Carmen, which is this city that I'm in. So I think for me, the way that I've looked at operating my business and becoming a remote worker has changed over time. And it wasn't just because of the pandemic. It's because I wanted to commit to somewhere where I could actually grow my business. And being in one location, it's a lot easier to do that, as you might imagine. It's hard to grow and build a business if you're traveling every month. So at this point, I have different clients that I work with that are looking to find remote work. And I have different coaching programs, and I create content for those people. And I have a jobs finding service. So there's a lot of different things that I do as far as helping people along their journey in finding remote work. And it continues to change, evolve, and grow. But that's kind of where I'm at now.
Wow. Out there, those people who like to really do what you do, what advice would you give them and how to spot scams? Because you are always going to find people who are really taking advantage of these people who are working remotely. So what advice would you give them?
You know, what's really funny is that the day that we are filming this, I posted a video on YouTube about this. So literally a couple hours ago, I posted a video about this. So it's really fresh in my mind. So I'll give you five things, and you, maybe you can even link this video if it's relevant. But one of the things is that if a job listing focuses on work from home in the title, it doesn't mean that it's fraudulent, but companies typically want to focus on what the role is, not that it's a work from home job. So if the main focus of the actual job is that it's a work from home opportunity, it's something to be skeptical about. Because typically if it says work from home job, great pay, low hours, like they're trying to get your attention so that you apply to it. Real remote jobs will say product manager, we're looking for a product manager, right? Or something where it's like clear about what the type of position they're looking for. And that goes to the second thing, which is it's too good to be true. So if the money is very disproportional to the hours that they claim you're going to be working, there's a chance it's a scam, because they like to sensationalize those things that you're going to make hundreds and hundreds of dollars an hour, thousands of dollars a week, and you're only going to work an hour or two. That's just not how the world works. So just watch out for that. If there's very little information on what the actual job is, so if it doesn't have a proper job description, which says, here are the requirements of what we are looking for from you, here are the things that we expect. Real remote jobs will have those descriptions and requirements listed. If they are limiting the information that they're sending you, it's for a reason. So they typically want you to be curious enough to reach out, and then they've kind of got your attention. So if people are reaching out to you with these types of jobs, it's also a sign where, as most remote jobs, like, people are typically not reaching out to you. You know, you have to go find them. And then there's the classic, if they're asking for payment information or any personal information, that's definitely a huge red flag. And if something doesn't feel right, you can always type in to Google, type in the company name. And then I always put the word scam in the search, and you'll find that some people will write reviews out there about scams, so that it'll quickly kind of come up. And then you can also check Glassdoor, which is a good resource, and also the Better Business Bureau if the company is in the United States.
But Jordan, why do you do what you do?
Why? Yeah, because remote work saved my life. It fundamentally gave me more opportunity to not only change the way that I lived from a lifestyle perspective, not only get healthier and feel better about who I was, not only get over anxiety and depression and really low points in my life, remote work gave me the opportunity to really explore all those things. Whereas if I was commuting to an office and was numb to, you know, the way that I felt about my work and didn't have enough time outside of work to really explore some of those things, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to travel and learn as much as I learned. I wouldn't have had the opportunity to invest in my hobbies and other activities. I wouldn't have had the opportunity to make my own food as opposed to going out all the time. Like, there's so many things. Remote working is beyond just not going to an office. It's everything that has to do with your life can be changed. So for me, when I say it saved my life, I don't say that to sound dramatic. It's true. It actually did. And I want to help other people who need the liberation, need the freedom, need the flexibility to spend more time with their family, to build a lifestyle around work that they actually enjoy. And when I have someone who gets a remote job because of the programs that we've been doing together, there's no better feeling in the world for me.
Do you mind going into details? Why do you think a 9-to-5 job was not for you, but this remote job saved your life? That is a big word.
Sure. It is. It is. It's a huge claim. Well, I'll say this. When I was in corporate and I was working 9-to-5 and I was even just working a job that didn't have as much flexibility that I needed and I wasn't enjoying it, I went through some very dark anxiety and depression riddled times where at one point I had considered suicide. And when you think about what gets you out of thinking in that way and what gets you out of those deep depressive states, there are certain things that you can do. But a lot of the things that got me out of that place were only available to me because I was working remotely. If I was not working remotely, I don't know where I would have been. I don't know how I could have coped. Because if you have to go into an office and you're having those types of thoughts and you're having those types of feelings, you have to commute and go to an office and actually pretend like nothing's wrong. It's really hard to do that. And I think it actually makes it worse. So being able to work remotely, you can take time for yourself during the day to meditate on things, to listen to audiobooks, to talk to friends, family, to make therapist appointments, to do the things that you need to do to get your headspace in a better place, right? So when I say it saved my life, I mean that the opportunities that remote work created for me and allowed me, enabled me to do, fundamentally gave me a better outlook on what it is that was possible for me.
Thank you for sharing.
Sure.
Sorry for intruding in your life, but thank you for sharing.
We're on a podcast, so that's what this is. This whole thing is intruding on my life, and I'm okay with it.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Let's put him on aside. How do you know you are successful?
How do you know you're successful? I think first and foremost, people can define success differently. How do I know that I'm successful? I mean, I think for me, I wake up every day and I'm excited. I'm excited to get into the work that I'm going to be doing. I'm excited and feel like I have a sense of purpose. I feel like I'm making progress. I feel like I'm doing something that's actually changing people's lives. To me, that's success. Now, I think when you put contribution to others, when you put purpose, when you put intention all first, that's when money comes. And that's what I think success is when you can put your purpose first, you can put your service to others, your contribution to others first, and you can genuinely mean it and you can be authentic about it. Then I think you become successful in some ways. So when I wake up and I have that feeling of I'm really excited for today, I can't wait to jump into some of the tasks that I need to do for my clients, or I can't wait to jump on a podcast and talk about these things. Like that to me is success.
Can anyone be an entrepreneur, or are some people more cut out for it than others?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think all of us have, and I don't know if you've read the book, but there's a really good book. It's called The E-Myth. So the E-Myth talks about three different people that live inside of us. One of them is the entrepreneur, like the dreamer, the person who basically, the part of you that's not afraid to take those risks, that is willing to put a business and systems into place that basically get you to that level where you can work for yourself and also employ other people and do those sorts of things. There's another part of us that's like a technician, the person who does the skills work. Like that's you actually executing on your coaching or on some of the actual things, the tangible things that you need to produce. And then there's the manager, the person that kind of has to manage everything and be organized and structured. And those three parts of us are in everybody. So do I think that anybody can be an entrepreneur? Yeah, I think that they can. But is it the right thing for someone? And for a lot of people, no, because they want to be a technician or they want to be a manager, but they don't want to be an entrepreneur. And if you don't recognize how those things appear in your life and how the technician tries to take over when it actually should be the manager or the entrepreneur, then you'll always be stuck with an employee mindset, even if you're an entrepreneur. And that's one of the worst things that can happen to an entrepreneur is that they have that employee mindset, because they're very, very different ways of thinking.
What have you learned from business as a whole?
It's never as easy as you think it is, but it's often more simple than you think it is. And I mean by that, we can get in our head about how, I guess, complicated we want to make things, like sales funnels and email sequences and advertising and just all these little things that we put in our own way sometimes, that create more complications in our businesses. But in reality, a good business is simply a set of systems that create predictable results. And if you can learn about the simplicity of business and try to keep it as simple as possible, as lean as possible, then I think that's what I've learned over time, is that I often overcomplicate everything. and I make things so much more difficult and complicated than they need to be. And then you go so far into the complications that you stop and you basically say, I can't even do this way anymore because it's just so complicated. And then you're forced to literally just go back and do it simple. So if there's anything I've learned from business, is that often the more simple that you can make it, the better.
What grounds you?
In the morning, I wake up and I work out. And that's the first thing I do, is drink water, go work out. And then after my workout, I meditate and I journal. And I do that at least every weekday. I do that on Monday through Friday. On the weekends, I go to the beach. And I would say that those combinations of things ground me tremendously.
What is one thing no one knows about you?
That no one knows about me? Oh, man.
Except your partner.
Well, let's see. I think there's some things that probably most people, at least probably every person who would listen to your podcast probably wouldn't know about me. And that's I did stand-up comedy for about a year. And I did improv comedy for about a year. And it was extremely anxiety like ridden. I did one show in front of about 250 people. And it was the most intense anxiety-inducing moment that I've ever had in my life. And it was worth it to do it and say that I did it. And it's on film, so you could even watch it if you wanted to. But it's just, I think about it now, and there's moments of it that were like so cool. And then there's moments of it that were just like, oh my God, I'm freaking out. So I'd say that that's one thing. I also don't drink alcohol. But these are things that I've admitted openly before. I feel like I'm pretty open about a lot of things. And I quit alcohol.
For saying alcohol. So does that wine count? Because if we are wine, so we are bad for you, because that is a little bit of alcohol to grapes. So don't you eat grapes?
Yeah. No. I used to love, I mean, I will say this. I love good beer. I love good wine. Good tequila. I like grapes. You don't find very many grapes in Mexico for some reason. I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a lot of tropical fruits here, but I've not seen grapes very often.
What is your favorite tropic fruit?
It's probably between three fruits. Granadilla, which is a type of passion fruit. Pitaya, which is also a type of passion fruit, I believe. And then mango. Those would probably be my three.
What is the secret of creating really successful courses?
To create them after you've worked with people and pre-sell the course. So those would be my two things. Is that I have a course, but I primarily use it for students who are in my coaching programs. And it works as a great self-paced way for them to go through and learn the systems that I teach. And then in our coaching, we go through parts of the homework that they have. But I think if you want to create a course, you have to validate the need for the course, and you have to understand what is it that you want the course for. Because if you want it to be a revenue generator for you, like if you're expecting all of your revenue to, you know, come from the course itself, then you need to pre-sell the course. Because if you create a course without the demand, it can be a very, very frustrating thing. And I originally created the course that I have now in early 2018 and had a very hard time selling it. And part of that was because I don't think that I marketed it very well, and then I did not pre-sell it. I just went and made a course that I thought people could use. And then all of a sudden you try to bring it to market and no one's asking for it. So it's something where I think you have to be very cautious on how much you think that people want it versus how much do people actually want it.
In your businesses, do you have mentors or coaches?
Yes. And I think that if you ever talk to a coach who does not have a coach, then that would be an issue. I actually have four coaches right now, and they all serve a different purpose in my life. One of them is a marketing coach that really does him and myself do most of my marketing work together on the content side, on the email sequences, on the websites. I have a couple. So they're a couple that lives in Spain that help me with my Facebook ads. So they're more of like my paid advertising coaches, and we work on what I'm doing in my paid advertising. And then I have an organization coach for my task management system. So he helps out with my systems automation and a lot of the things that that I do within my task management. So how to set up the logistical side of my business, and he's, you know, really good at that.
What is the most valuable thing your mentors and your coaches has told you?
All roads must lead to Rome. So one of my business coaches was talking about the fact that when a client or potential client lands on any page on your website, on any advertisement, on any piece of social media, you should know how they get from that page to where they want, where you want them to go. And if you don't know what that is, there's a problem. So one of the keys is that you need to point them to quote unquote Rome, to where you want them to go. So for me, in a lot of the content, and I'm in website, if you go there, you'll notice that most things end up pointing to having a call with me, a strategy call, because that's where everything should flow for me, because that's how I get customers, is through my strategy sessions. And that's how I help more people, is through my strategy sessions. So those are, for me, that's where I want to point people. So just being very clear on how you're pointing people through their customer journey as they go through the different places on your site.
What is the most valuable thing you have ever given away?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. The most valuable thing I've ever given away, my time. My time. I think for me, it's really valuable to give back. And I have a few different mentees. So people that either work with me or underneath me in some way, and giving them my time, undivided attention, and help is probably the most valuable thing that I think I've given, because I want them to succeed. And it's not, there's some situations where I take people through the coaching that I do as a mentee, and I'm not asking for anything from them. I'm just giving to them what I think that they need in those moments. And that's really, again, that's really important to me, that there's a few people at least at a time that I am doing that for, because there are people that have helped me as well.
What is one thing that has contributed to your success?
Coaches, hiring the coaches that I've hired, because when you have a goal and you want to get somewhere, working with someone who can not only give you direct feedback, but who can also provide accountability for you. I think accountability is key. That is what really moves the ball. If you want to get closer to your goals, find someone who's done what you're looking to do and hire them to help you.
Let's talk about your business. Tell us more about it, and how can we join, and how can we contact you?
Yeah, so my business is called The Remote Job Coach. So it's theremotejobcoach.com. Pretty easy to remember, hopefully. And I offer a wide range of services on the site. If you look there, there's a bunch of free content downloads. So I have a place where there's a kind of resources. So there's free trainings and a free Facebook group that I have about 600 or 700 people in now, where I post weekly job updates and I post content and all sorts of stuff. So that's the best place to get started. And then if you want to work with me, then there's different options to do that. But I always recommend starting with a strategy session, because that way I'll get to know you a little bit better. And then if I have a certain type of service or program that I think would fit the person, then we talk about that.
What is your clientele on one-on-one, because I see you have two programs?
Yeah, so the clientele that I have are typically people that are good at their job. They've been really good at performing in that role. They have remote transferable skills. The position that they have could be done remotely, but for whatever reason, the job search process is difficult for them, and especially a remote job search process. And I want to clarify, because we were never taught how to search for jobs. It wasn't in university. It wasn't in high school. No one ever teaches you that in the traditional educational system. They also don't teach you networking and interpersonal communication, like social dynamics, things that are really important to the job searching process. They don't teach. And then add another layer of complexity that you're looking only for remote positions. It's just hard for some people to know how to do it, and they don't have a process. So the people that I talk to, they open their computer and they don't know what to do. They don't even know where to start. But again, they're high performing individuals. They're people that have done well in their jobs. So those are the best people that I can work with. And sometimes they have a position right now that they're working, but it's not remote, or it's only remote during COVID. And what we try to do together is get them placed into a remote position. And we work together to do that.
What budget would be looking to work with you, like a one-on-one or maybe a group session, so we know where to start from?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, my programs and how people can work with me is anywhere from free with my content and some of the resources and the group stuff that I do, all the way to thousands of dollars. So up to probably $5,000 is kind of the range. And anywhere in between, there's places where I help people solely with the job search process and they want to do it by themselves. I've got ways to help them there. And then I've also got a group program. And I've also got, you know, if they want just one-on-one attention, we do that too. So
where can we find your programs and how can we connect with you?
Yeah, the remotejobcoach.com is the best place. And you'll be able to find all the resources there, as well as my services page. And I'm pretty responsive. So if you wanted to send an email, that works too.
So, Clan, there will be more from Jordan in a moment. If you are listening on one of the many podcasting platforms rather than my website and you are encouraged by Jordan's journey, go to onlinesuccessjourney.com for a bonus portion of the interview. The Online Success Journey is a wonderful membership community built for people searching for the path to success. We are one big clan and you can be part of this community for free. Once you have joined the clan, click on part two of Jordan's journey or over 200 plus other journeys that are available, and learn how you can find the right path for your own online success journey. That's a wrap, clan. Remember, success is a journey. Patience and Jordan.
This is not the end of the journey. We hope you've enjoyed listening to part one and want to be sure you know there is a second part to this and every journey podcast at onlinesuccessjourney.com, filled with even more success tips, uplifting stories, and even a bit of fun. There are dozens of episodes only available to the members of the Online Success Journey Clan. Check out the website and click on Join the Clan for more information. Patience would like to thank you for listening to this podcast, and she has a free audio gift for you at her website. Go to onlinesuccessjourney.com for instant access to this gift. Of course, you know that listening to the journeys of others helps each of us chart our own path. So make sure you're subscribed to be notified as each new interview is posted. There are so many ways to stay connected to the Online Success Journey and to listen in. And if you're enjoying the podcast, we appreciate your help in telling others. One of the best ways to share the benefit you get is to rate and review it at Stitcher and other sites by clicking the stars or completing the ratings form, by clicking thumbs up and leaving a comment on YouTube, or liking and sharing the podcast on social media. To review the podcast within iTunes, simply open iTunes to the podcast, click on Ratings and Reviews, then write a review. On behalf of Patience and until next time, thanks once more for listening. It is our hope that this podcast will guide you on your own online success journey.